Isaiah sang a love song to the people about the relationship between God and the people that God loves. And it's not an easy song. It's a symbolic song. And then it becomes this whole list of things that we need to be careful about in our human living. And I thought it would be appropriate, as I called you to pray with me in this reflection, that maybe I'd sing you a little bit of this. I was trying to teach this very difficult passage to children about 25 years ago and wrote this little ditty that helps me remember what's important here. And I thought I would use it as a call to prayer as we come to reflect. So would you pray with me? Are you join your field to field until there's room for no one but you. Then you're alone to count the yield. What then in love is the Lord? God, touch our eyes and our ears, our minds and our hearts, so together this day we might see and hear and truly believe in a faithful way of justice in this world, allowing ourselves to transcend our own selfish thinking, that we might share the beautiful abundance of this world with you and with one another. Bless our thinking and are praying and are reflecting this day, that we might be inspired to live our faith in each moment. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I apologize in advance that I'm preaching a kind of difficult sermon on a hot day. It makes it doubly hard. But you are strong, and you are smart, and you are faithful, and so I think you can handle it. I'd like to start with a really simple, playful image to help you think about the things that I'm going to say. It's a little meme that you might find on your phone, on Instagram, or on Facebook or something, and it's the story that's been told bazillions of times about people getting their first computer. And, you know, they set it all up and the computer's there, and in it they have a little instruction book, and at the bottom there's a phone number that's for tech support. And so the person is trying to get their computer going and they're having no luck, and so they call the 1-800-HELP-ME-NOW, a number that's there on the tech support, and they say, I can't get this dang thing to work. And the tech asks the very first, most important question, have you plugged it in? And believe it or not, I read a statistic once that takes care of 1/3 of the problems of people who need tech support. We've forgotten to plug it in, and the thing doesn't work unless we're plugged in. I'm going to say this again because this is what Isaiah is trying to teach us. The thing doesn't work unless we're plugged in. So this song, the Song of the Vineyard, Isaiah, I gave you a beautiful picture of Isaiah, by the way. It is Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel on the cover there, one of the frescoes. It's his rendition of the prophet Isaiah. And we tend to think of Isaiah as being a Christmas prophet, Advent and Christmas, because Isaiah does a lot of talking about the coming of the Messiah and what life will be like when we have the Messiah to lead us. But in this particular passage, Isaiah is really challenging all the people of Israel and the people of Judah and the people of the world who would be faithful. There is a very difficult challenge here that begins with a love song. I'm going to sing a love song, says Isaiah. It's about the beloved God and God's people. You see, God loved the people so much. And by the way, the image here is that of a vineyard. And this image about God's people being a vineyard is all over the Old Testament. It's not a new image for the people. God loved the people so much that they were this beautiful vineyard, and God planted the vineyard. God took the best vines and dug beautiful rows and created this beautiful vineyard, and then put a beautiful hedge around it and a watchtower so the vineyard would be safe. And then God gave the people everything that they needed, the water and the soil and the sunshine, everything that they needed. And it was this beautiful vineyard, and God did all this, and God expected that all this beauty would create this incredible harvest, this wonderful, sweet grapes for a beautiful wine, for the sharing of abundance. This was God's expectation. And instead, God got sour grapes, bad, yucky fruit. I don't think you used the word yucky, Linda, but it's there. Bad, yucky fruit. God expected something much more from the people that God loved so much, but it was sour. And if you read the next 26 verses, which I didn't make you listen to today, there's this whole run of woes. Woe to you. Watch out. And the first woe, the one that I did ask Linda to read, is a simple encapsulation of what the problem is. You had so much, God said. I gave you so much. And you just decided in your, it's coming back again now, reactionary selfishness that you needed more, that enough wasn't enough. And the image, you need to understand agriculture, vineyards, and crops in ancient Israel. There was this common practice that when you planted, you didn't plant the field all the way out to the fence line. You didn't do that because you were trying to leave some ground that was unplanted so the earth would renew itself. And when you picked the crop, you just picked one time through and you left the rest in the field. You left the grapes on the trees. After you took what you needed, you left the rest so that others, and this was the practice, people who didn't own a field or people who couldn't afford to own a field were allowed to go into your field after you took what you needed so they could get what they needed. And this was justice. You take what you need and leave the rest. But something changed because, you know, we're human beings and we're clever. And someone, and no one knows probably who the first farmer was, who said, you know what? If we plant all the way out to the edge of our field, field to field, if we do the whole thing, there'll be more for us. And in fact, if we join our field with my neighbor's field and we plant it right up to the edge together, then there'll be more for us. And if not only we do that, if we not only do the first harvest, but we decide that we'll take the second and the third harvest as well, think of the profits. Ah, you who join your field to field. That's what Isaiah's talking about. Ah, you who are so clever that you're just going to make more. Ah, you who join your field to field. And then uses this line that is haunting. We are so selfish. Ah, you who join until there's room for no one but you. Isaiah makes this really difficult suggestion that sometimes if we are that selfish, the result is that we are alone. You're taking so much, there's no room for anybody else in your life but you. Ah, you who join your field to field until there's room for no one but you, and then you're left alone to count the yield. Look how much more you've made this year than last. And then comes the haunting question. What's God going to do? What can God do if you've already taken everything and stopped sharing? How can God love us if we have decided to stop letting love into our lives? We have unplugged it. It doesn't work if it's not plugged in. Doesn't work if it's not plugged in. If we are going to be faithful people who want to work to create justice and mercy and compassion and peace in the world, we have to be plugged into love. Because then anything is possible. Unplugged doesn't work. Plugged in to love, then justice and mercy, kindness and hope and joy and grace, all possible. It's hard on a hot, hot day not to be uncomfortable. I know you're uncomfortable. I'm moving it right along. I got one more message to make. But often in our discomfort, it's our discomfort that creates our selfishness. It's our disease that creates our selfishness. I don't think I have enough. And we tend to act out of that place. It's reactionary. It comes quickly. I need that. I want that. And somehow, and this, I don't know if you were reading the words carefully to the hymn that I chose before we came in. It's a brutal hymn. It's a wonderfully brutal hymn. Because it reminds us that we think that somehow everything in the world is just for us. And we think that this whole idea of freedom, which God wants us to have freedom, we think we're free to take everything for ourselves. That's what freedom means. And that's not the kind of justice that God is talking about. Freedom is about our ability to take care of each other and the world. That's why we have freedom, not so we can have whatever we want. And this is such a hard concept to sell in our culture. And that's what makes this such a hard sermon. Part of what we believe is that God has given us this abundant world and there is enough for all of us. That's what we believe. And therefore, it is our work, our job as part of this vineyard to create the beautiful fruit of justice and of mercy and of compassion. And it's not just about our money or our things. It's about our time and our spirit and the way that we can share that with each other. When we plug into this way of faith, this way of love, this way of sharing that we talk about every week, then we can find ways forward. It's what this church has been about. 245 years we've been meeting and talking about this. I hope we're a little better than we were 245 years ago, but I'm not sure. I wonder what Laban would have to say. I hope he would be pleased. But it is the work of our community to be a vineyard that yields grapes of hope and joy and peace and love. That's what God can do. Amen.